What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast. We started a little early today. I know. We are live on YouTube, on our YouTube page. We are live on Facebook and now on TikTok. Hello, TikTok. What's going on? Hope you enjoy the show. And, of course, I got this ugly thing with me again.
Hey!
He's back for another round two, for another great episode tonight. But enough of the chit-chat, guys. Let's rock and roll. Are you ready, buddy?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Live from the historical Villa Cortez and straight up Gray Skull Studio. Welcome to the podcast where the mics stay hot and the stories stay real. Broadcasting from the RGB and across the globe, we're sitting down with wrestler creators and underground talent making noise their way. This is the Chew and Who Podcast. Let's get into it.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back. Episode 283. We are climbing that ladder, man. Getting close to 300. 283. I want to say thank you first to everybody who tuned in last week with James Blackheart. Great episode, man. I've been getting a lot of great feedback. Everybody tuned in last week, thank you for all the comments, the questions. We actually welcome that every single night when we have our shows, man. I know Chew enjoys it so much because he gets to interact with you guys on the screen.
People talk to me. It's so cool.
But anyways, guys, on tonight's episode, first timer, actually on the podcast. We've been wanting to get him for a while on here, man. But this guy's all over the place, man. He's constantly busy. He has other things going on in his life. And
bullshit. He just didn't want to be on the show.
No. Let's not say that because
Blackheart was here. Oh no.
But anyways, guys, tonight on the podcast we have Matt Ryan on the podcast.
What's up, guys?
Man. Welcome to the show. Man.
It was an honor. It's an honor to be here.
Wow, man.
Love the setup.
Beautiful
setup.
Thank you. Yeah, man. We got a couple of your buddies that are part of your promotion, different promotions. We got on the wall here and there. If you look around, you'll see some stuff like, oh, I know that guy. I kicked that guy's ass.
I was noticing. I mean, I wasn't saying that, but.
I was definitely
thinking it, but I wasn't saying it.
I asked out his mom.
we'll talk about that.
Just plead the fifth, man.
NDA for that.
But no, man, welcome to the show, man. First time on here, man. We've been itching to have you on here for quite a while. We try to do our merry-go-round with all the talent in every promotion, and you're one of them that we hadn't reached out yet. Oh, and then here you go, Danny already timed in. Hell yes.
Shout out Danny Chance.
So we haven't had you on the program for the first time. This is something that, you know, we want to get to know you, bro. I mean, we've seen you in the ring. We've seen the way you perform out there, man. It is literally all hell's loose when you go in the ring. I've seen the matches, bro. You bring
the show for sure.
Yes, you bring the show. Most of the times you are in part of the main events at the very end of the night because you bring the show. You bring the ride.
I definitely try to bring something different each and every match. I definitely try to show the valley that we're not just a spot on the map. We're bigger than that. We are the RGV. We are the Rio Grande Valley. We are La Raza.
There you go.
Making a name for ourselves little by little, starting from now. We have a football team here in the Edinburgh area. We're making a name for ourselves. I just want to make sure that I make sure that RGV is just as proud as I am to be part of it.
That's good. Well said, man. Let's start from the very beginning, Matt. Tell us where you're from, where you grew up, and how you got it all here. Let me release one more. It's from, Amanda Coronado? Woohoo! We love you, Matt. Oh, here come the ladies, man. Here come the ladies. Because I know one thing, Matt brings the ladies, bro. So let's start from the beginning, brother. Tell you where you're from, where you grew up, and how we got into the wrestling world. Go ahead,
Tommy. Well, that's kind of a long story where it all started. Two crazy people had premarital sex back in the day, and unfortunately, I was
what am I going to say on a show, bro?
Pay bills for the rest of my life, which I appreciate y'all. If I Let's see. I born in Corpus, raised down here in the valley at a very young age. That's why I say I'm from RGV. Anytime I'm down here, I do say I'm from Corpus, but it's just a little pick and choose at the RGV community because right. I know I'm from born. I'm not born and raised, but definitely raised RGV. Mm-hmm. This is kind of where the car broke down. Easiest said and done. Yeah. I come from a big family. I'm the youngest of five.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
All my brothers and sisters are way ahead of me. Sister just retired out of the Army. Hey.
Hey. Oh, wow. Thank you for your services.
Hey, thank you very much, Ma. I don't know. I was always the black sheep of the family. I was always the quiet one, always the one that was just a nerd, get picked on all the time. That I got left behind is how I say it. My family even called me FedEx sometimes. It was kind of, they said they dropped me off at the doorstop one day and they just didn't turn back and they couldn't turn me back in. So no return labels.
There you go.
Wow.
I don't know. Growing up, kind of a nerd. Was really into wrestling actually growing up until mm-hmm. someone broke that little F card for me. And I was like, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I'm going to continue watching this. But I don't know. The big timers, I was in The Rock, The Stone Cone.
Pretty much the Attitude Era, like, is what you're talking about.
The best era, I feel like. That was one of the golden eras, I feel like, for me. And I don't know. I always saw wrestling as part of my life. More of like my family. Like my family would watch it. I mean, one of the most like iconic things I remember is we were gonna watch one of the WrestleManias, and of course back in the day we didn't have DVR. You know what I mean? So we had this big ass 10-foot camera that we had set up next to our 1,500-pound TV that we had there. I would just sit there and watch the matter after we paid for the pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
And we couldn't watch it that weekend because we were going to, I think we were going to visit family in Alice or in Corpus area. So we were going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we let it record, set the battery. The battery was going to die out. We didn't care as long as it recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So, lo and behold, we come back and we're like, excited, you know, we're about to see WrestleMania that we paid like, I think that day was like 80 bucks or 90 bucks.
Yeah. Why do I feel this is going to go south real quick?
Oh, it went south.
Yo, so we're like, yeah, so we put on the VCR and we could hear everything. It was the greatest audio, but we could not see a thing. So I don't know if it was my mom or my stepdad, but one of them forgot to take the lens off the top. That's one of my golden memories as a child for wrestling. But other than that, it was...
Well, you enjoyed it old school, man. Radio style, man. That's the best part.
So then, I don't know. After that, it was mainly just sports. I played baseball since I was 5 years old. I kept going. I was very athletic. I was very into just being outdoors. I grew up on a ranch. A lot of people don't know this, and I hate to say this because it's going to make the girls go even crazier.
Oh, there you go.
I grew up a cowboy. I grew up on a ranch. I grew up with the Wranglers, the boots, the hats, you name it, I was in it. Feeding cows, fixing fences on a horse, four-wheelers. That's why small engine mechanic. I learned how to weld. I learned how to do all this before I was even like 10. Like, this is stuff that was like second nature to me. And then growing up, having financial problems was, of course, my stepdad having to go to jail because he was part of some in-and-out stuff that I really don't want to get part of.
Right, just no problem.
Had some cartel things to do with that.
Okay. But
all of that had to slow down. It became kind of a survival thing after that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically how I spent the rest of my like high school years. It was just surviving. It was me working. Actually, I got my first job when I was 12 years old. I was a ranch hand up in Wyoming when my stepdad got out of jail.
Wow.
I did that most of my summers. I paid for all my school clothes. I helped pay my own rent coming back home. After that, I got my first legal job when I was 16. I was at Denny's. And then that throughout high school, that's all I worked was Denny's. I was making decent money for being 16 years old.
There you go. And money for the ladies, my man.
Yeah. And then just after that, I kept being athletic, stayed in sports all through high school. And then just when I graduated, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was going to college for mechanical engineering.
There you go.
I've always wanted to work with my hands. So it's something I'm still pursuing to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted something more. And me and my best friend, we were training for like MMA and like stuff when we were younger, like jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing, stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right, right.
And I don't know, it just one day after we both graduated, he just comes home one day from like an academy. He worked at an academy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey man, I was talking to some random dude. We were talking about like, you know, like fighting and like kung fu, and then we went into soccer, and so happened the conversation broke up into wrestling.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, like he's like, yeah, man. Well, apparently they have a training down here. Like it's here in the flea market, which I was already skeptical because, like, again, I've never heard. This is the first time wrestling's ever been dropped, like in my mind, as far as like being professional or taking it anywhere. So this is like the first page. You know what I mean, I'm barely seeing like author and. Still the title, still
the contents. Pretty much the contents of the book before it started getting written.
Yeah, you're already skeptical. You know what I mean? You don't know if the book's gonna be good, so you know you gotta flip it over, so read the.
I was already
asking the questions like, all right, well, what's gonna happen? Where is it? So I remember meeting this random guy at a HGV parking lot.
Question: are there cliff notes by any chance?
Can we get to the point?
No, but there will be a test after this.
Oh, great! Of course, great.
So after we meet at some random parking lot. He the guy's the sketchiest thing in the world too. Because at the time my best friend drove a 1500 Dodge Ram, big truck.
Uh-huh.
And then we were following some Dodge Charger at the time they had just popped out. It was red, candy red, and we were following it into this flea market at. 9 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. This is gonna end wrong. Yeah.
This is the way horror stories start.
Yeah, this is how my documentary is gonna start. Like. So fast forward, we get there, and some creepy old man opens the gate, drives us in, and then the creepy man closes the gate behind us, and we're all looking at each other. My brother in the back, my best friend driving, I'm in the passenger seat, and we're all looking at each other like. Yeah, we're gonna die. Like, yeah, this is a setup. Like, so I'm already like me. I've always been a fighter. So like, first thing he does, I'm already reaching for his crowbar that's underneath his seat. I'm already like, nah, I ain't gonna sit here and I'm gonna go out swinging. You know what I mean? So as we're getting closer, we turn a corner, we start hearing slams of the ring, and we're all kind of like.
Relieved. Okay, we're here. We're not. There's bodies actually falling to the ground. We're here.
There's other people here.
Civilization, So we start seeing the slamming of the ring, but we're noticing that it's not a very like American style based wrestling. It's a lot of a lucha style. So we're like kind of like, well, this isn't what we signed up for. You know, this is what we were told. We're told this is American based style wrestling. Mm-hmm. This is like. You know, what we see on TV.
Right, right.
And at the time, a lot of YouTube, too. And he's like, no, give us a second. Like, the trainers will be here. All right, cool. So we sit there, and about 10 minutes later, some snazzy little guy walks in the suit, tie, everything, holding his briefcase out, like, holding his suit on wheels. And I'm sitting there like, this guy's legitimate. He has wheels on his briefcase. Like, And then here comes Vermin right behind him. Over cold, chill, like he just came here to wrestle. And then here comes Popper with his a cherry popper at the time. It's Danny Ramon. At the time, he was cherry popper at the time.
Okay.
And he shows up with his big ass suitcase full of wrestling gear. He looks like he's like the only one that's actually ready to wrestle. We're like,
actually ready to wrestle.
All righty, like this is. They get in the ring and they just start doing all these crazy things, and we're just sitting there like mind blown. Like, what did we just watch? Like, these guys were seriously telling the truth. Like, these guys are literally legitimate, and they're like they get off to start doing crazy stuff. They're back flipping, front flipping, just doing their thing.
Right.
You know what I mean, they turn around, they look at us. Like, I said, what do y'all think? We get in that ring. We're taking our first bumps, our first rolls. We're already ready to go, and just. We picked it up. It fell on our lap. And we picked it up and ran with it. We just fell in love with it. I think one of our first shows that we ever got to see on like kind of a taste, not so much like a like we were wrestling. It was on YouTube. It was like PWG time.
Right.
And this was when like at our time, all the guys that we wanted to wrestle were in this show, and they were doing some of the craziest spots. I mean, high spot after, and we were like. We could do this.
We can
do this. We are gonna do this. So it's exactly what we did. We just nailed it together, and I don't know. I'm not sure y'all played WWE games when they first started coming out. You can build your own character. That was literally our homework. And this is when I first started training after it became like more professional.
Right.
Yeah.
I always train the younger crowd. I'll tell them, hey, go home. This is your homework. If you have a WWE game, go create your character. Right. Go in there. Do what you got to do. Like, what moves you would see yourself doing, like, and perfect them. Make your character in that ring. And that way you can, like, bring it out. And that's just... That's what we would do. We would create our own characters, and I had my own moveset and stuff that I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do, and now I'm here.
Like, you know, when you say that, that's like one of the best concepts to tell somebody. Goes, you know what? Go home, play this game, and create your character, dude. And picture yourself dude in the ring, bro.
And I think that inspired a lot of, like, the younger talent, because that's exactly what they did. Like, they'd go home, and they would watch themselves wrestle, and like, oh, I can do this, and I can do that, and I want to do this, and... At the time, the games were very limited, but you can also, like, upload stuff and download stuff.
Right,
and, like,
right.
So, like, they would create their own characters, how I want to come out. And then I would see them years later, and their characters now are there. Like, now they're out and about. So, like, that's how it started. It came from an underground, here he said, she said, hey, this is how it's going to start.
Right.
And now we saw... Not the light at the end of the tunnel, but we saw the work that needed to be done, and we were doing it.
Right,
and we did it.
This promotion. I've heard so many of the OGs talk about this. This promotion is what promotion
would be back in the day. It was called Wrestling Revolution.
So you're part of the original OGs back then, man.
And that was one of the. I think that was when I paid my dues the most. I think because at the time we didn't have a professional ring, so the ring that y'all see nowadays takes. Us maybe like 30 minutes to maybe an hour to set up,
right,
depending on how many people show up.
Right.
At our time, we had a boxing ring, which I'm not sure y'all familiar with, but boxing rings are a lot heavier.
Yeah, they are.
And it's a lot stiffer than a wrestling ring. They're not meant to, like, give. They're meant to, like, you know, so you can plant your feet and give that butt.
Yeah.
So we turned that, well, they at the time turned that into, the OGs turned that into a wrestling ring at the time. So we were taking our bumps on basically concrete. That's what we were doing. But we loved it.
That's awesome.
That
man.
Ring took almost six of us anywhere from like 4 to 6 hours to set up. Like, it wasn't like we can get there. We had to sometimes set that up a day before, like set half of it up just so the next day we go in there and we reset the rest of it up.
Right.
And it was a pain, but honestly, it made me love the business so much more personally.
Right,
like,
right.
As much as I couldn't stand doing it. Don't get me wrong. I have so many bumps and bruises and back pains because of it. Like, I'm pretty sure a bunch of my rotator cuffs are out of place because of that ring. But...
Well, when you got sweat in the game, man.
But I mean, at the end of it, no, it's not even that. At the end of that match, when you were done and you were taking it apart, you sat there like, bro, that was amazing. That was, it was worth that six hours of hell. Like, it's like being at the gym and going through a leg day, and even though you don't want to do it, at the end of that leg day, you're like, that was awesome. Like, that was
nice.
And just to give you a heads up, our number one fan just tuned in right now. No, not Louie, because we haven't seen Louie in a while. But our new number one fan is... Yes, man. I say Martin Gomez popping out saying that's exactly what I did. Martin, I appreciate you, buddy. I really do appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
You realize you got hell to pay with El Foquito later.
Yeah, he does.
You got hell to pay with Foquito.
Yeah, eventually I will. Yeah. But anyways, like I was saying before, I've noticed the OGs talk about that same story. Mm-hmm. You know, they were out there north of Mission doing the flea market thing, and I think Raymond said it best. He's a bill of callus to everything you need to do first so you can feel the bumps, you know, feel everything, you know, you'll be ready for the hits, the bumps, the slams, all that good stuff.
I'm going to tell you that after putting that ring together, nothing could hurt me. I'll tell you that.
After what that ring did to me.
Yeah. There's nothing. I'm going to hit the concrete. Another day, another Saturday.
Oh, God. I'm gonna put this up there so you can read it yourself. He says, the biggest hidden gem is in the chat once again. Oh, my God. Okay, Martin. I'll make sure Matt has receipts for you also, just like Blackheart had. But anyway.
Hey, but I'm not typing in the chat.
Oh. There you go, buddy. There you go. You got that one. That one's going to sting. Do it right there. Do it to him. Go ahead, buddy.
Ooh.
But yeah, man, it's funny, like you said, the story of how you guys got started in that whole business.
It was even crazier because, like, it became our shows also became practice because it wasn't like we were throwing shows every once a month. It wasn't throwing shows every other couple weeks or it was significantly at the beginning. It was almost 2-3 times a week we were wrestling. Like,
wow,
it'd be a Friday one place, Saturday next time, and Sunday somewhere else. And it'd be two shows at one place and a Sunday some other place, or it'd be a random Thursday at some festival that we gotta somehow manage to scrape together this ring and make it over there. Like, like who wants to ruin their truck trying to carry this two-ton ring everywhere? Like, it was practice, and it made the love for the game real. Like, it just, it was
right.
I don't know, every week was something different. Every week was a show. Every week we had a story. Like, if you missed one day or one show, like, it felt like you missed an entire week.
A week or entire episode.
I think this is why it's so, like, sacred to us, like, especially the people who were there and, like, got to see all of it, because, like, you had to be there. You just had to be there. Right. Like, the times when we sold out arenas, like, we sold out our which was Cine, which was our biggest place.
We
sold out that places, and it was crazy. Like, you had, and some of the wrestlers, today were there, and it's crazy because, like, they were watching us do this, and, like, that's another thing is that WR was one of the few promotions that were consistent. They were consistently promoting, consistently putting everything out there, consistently telling, hey, this is wrestling. This is what wrestling in the Valley is. This is what American style wrestling, because we don't get around, we had a lot of lucha wrestlers in the Valley. Wrestling's always and will always be around. Long live wrestling, period. But there wasn't a real, like, American style base here. There was a lot of little promotions, there wasn't a constant story where, like, people could invest their money and go and see it every day. And here's a $10 ticket to watch it every week. And you sit there like, bro, last week this guy got in the fight with this guy, but now this guy is gonna get his revenge on
him.
And all of a sudden you're like, yo, is this, are we WWF back in the day? Like, are we sitting there like we're getting people?
Did it feel like that? Like you were building something?
It really felt like we had a connection with the community. Like everybody, and to this day, like, I have people who come up to me like, hey, man, I used to see you wrestle when I was a kid. I'm like,
wow.
Bro, you 22. Like, like, what do you mean? Like, don't make me feel older than I am. Like,
my grandpa talked about seeing you wrestle all the time.
God, and when he tells, every part of my body just starts hurting, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, you know.
Don't say that. I got Jose Martinez saying, who the heck is Martin Gomez? That guy who got smacked by a water bottle. And as Amanda's saying, I remember those Wrestling Revolution days. Great times.
They were great times.
And I got Lisa Gonzo saying Matt is the GOAT. I'm not gonna deny that there, Lisa. I've seen this guy. I've seen your matches, bro. They're classics, man. The ones that I've seen personally, in person itself, I mean, they are classic matches.
I appreciate that. Like I said, I do try very hard. I do my homework. I train the best I can, especially mentally. If I'm not in the ring, I'm mentally training in my head. So I'm constantly in the ring. If I'm not physically, I'm mentally in the ring. I'm constantly putting together matches for no reason in my head. I'm constantly making spots out of nothing. I see something that I like, and I'm like, how can I make that cooler? That's basically what Matt Riott is.
Well, here you go, Matt. Asking, you shall receive. Jose Martinez said, my grandpa took me to see Matt. Good times.
My grandpappy took me.
That's just messed up, Jose. No,
he made me take my daily vitamins.
Where's my Ovaltine, Daddy?
Y'all don't have Bengay. Do you also have East Side?
I think
I used the last of it.
I think you got a couple of that. But anyway, but yeah, man. I mean,
but like I said, it's a constant training. I had to slowly step away from the ring at one point. I tore my meniscus, and I'm assuming I haven't got the MRI or anything done, but I'm assuming my MCL as well, because I don't have any sideways movement.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But that sent me back about, I'm going to say almost 3 years. Like, I had to take a break. I posted it up on my Instagram and my Facebook. I was like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. My knee's gotten really out of shape. Like, it needs healing. It needs to take a, it needs to get fixed. And that's what I was going to take that break for. I wanted to save up and maybe even invest in surgery, invest something. But I also got a bunch of opinions on the surgery itself, which was like, hey, don't do it. After surgery, it's not the same.
Yeah,
like,
I hear you.
Do it. It's just deal with you. Like, rehabilitate it. And that's honestly what I had to do, not even just because I couldn't afford the surgery. Like, I'm not one for ask for handouts. I'm not one to start, like... So I was like, let me see what else I can do to make sure I can continue my career.
Right, exactly. And
that's exactly what I did. I spent those 3 years just rehabilitating my knee, and I was... constantly putting it under strain, under load, pushing it not to its limit, but a good step before it. I was pushing it to where I can make sure I get my mobility back as well as my strength. I bought a brace that makes sure that I have two metal bars. As you can see, put two bars that go across.
Oh my God. Let me put the camera on you there, buddy. Go ahead.
No, you're good. They go across here. I'm not sure y'all ever see it, but there's two metal rods that go across my knee.
Jesus, just to make sure
that my knee doesn't go either way. But it's just, like I said, it's for the love of the game. I needed to make sure I got back in that ring, and that itch, like, and any wrestler will tell you, even retired, not retired, it's an itch. And I needed it. I needed to scratch it. So I secretly got in touch with one of my best friends who just so happens to run a promotion. And I was like, look, man, I'm getting the itch. I need to get back in the ring. I just don't want anybody to know. I don't want people to hit me up. I don't want people to see what I can do in the ring and then overbook me and then knowing me how I can't say no because I love to work. I'm gonna push myself right back into an injury. So
right.
I want to do this under caps. I want to do this without anybody knowing. And it's exactly what we did. I came out as the motorcycle guy 3 years later, and everybody would just see me show up at a show, and either I was intervening or I was just making a scene, and then I would leave. And then they were like, who the hell is that guy? Like,
Danny's saying, nobody knew. nobody knew. Yeah, there it is, Danny.
That's exactly what I wanted. I didn't want anybody to be like,
all part of the plan.
You mean you were doing a Seth Rollins?
I wanted to just slowly come back into the wrestling scene. I wanted to make sure that, like, the new people that never saw wrestling all of a sudden were interested in wrestling.
Right.
And that's what me and Chance put together, I think, really well with my first cage match back. And I was hella nervous. I was like, this is the first time in a ring in over 3 years. This is the first time I'm actually putting my knee to the test.
Yeah.
This is making sure that I can continue my career.
Right.
And again, with my brother's, which again, he's my best friend, but he's my brother. It's the same thing. My brother's arm around me, like, hey, man, we got this. We can do this.
We got this.
I'll take care of you, promise. And that's exactly what wrestling is, taking care of each other. It's a brotherhood. And we did it. We went in there, and I'm not sure y'all seen the TikTok, but I did the shooting star press off the top of the cage, if not.
That video has been shown so many times,
dude.
You gotta
look it up. It's look under. It's Forever the Scenest Kid on TikTok. If not, I'll post it up here on my Instagram, The Matt Riot. Here soon, I'll repost it up for y'all. But that one post got me like 20,000 views, I think, on TikTok.
Bro,
a lot of reposts. People have even told me, like, hey, man, your content's being used at other places. I'm like, that's cool. Like, that's what I wanted. I just wanted people to realize that the valley's big, and we're making it bigger. Like, I wanted to make sure that, and then the wrestling scene is even bigger down here too. So I wanted to make sure that I made a name for myself, and I wanted to make sure that staple of Matt Riot is still the high flying, death defying.
There you go.
RGV's best, craziest.
I got.
I think your legacy is safe.
Yeah. I got at LWAW saying yo on there, and okay, and then I got Danny saying the press.
It's the press. It was funny because like my memory of being up there, and I'm not sure y'all seen how high that.
I've been to the match of that. We've seen it. Yeah. It's pretty damn high.
So being up there, I remember telling Chance, and we were like, hey man, how do you want to go? How do you want to finish this match? Like, how do you want to finish this match? I'm like, I want to do something off top rope. And he was like, hey, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you can't do it, don't do it. And I got up there like, I'm going to do it. He's like, all right, don't bitch out. Those were his words. Don't
right,
bitch out.
Right, right. Yeah.
Got up there. And I looked down. My butthole clenched. I could have cracked a walnut.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yep.
But all I could hear was Chance and see Chance looking at me. But I could hear Chance saying, don't bitch out.
Don't bitch out. This was your idea.
Yeah.
This is your time.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. And honestly, after that match, I remember landing and then just Chance trying to grab me and pull me so he can hug me because he was so excited after the match because he was out the door himself. He was tired. He wants to focus on just running the business himself, quote unquote. But he was just so excited to be back in the ring with me. Like it was a brotherhood. After that, I was like, I still got it and I'm still going to get it. Like I'm still going to make sure that people know the name Matt Riott. And
yeah. I said before, dude, I've seen the matches, especially that night. I was a Swanton dive or a shooting star.
When
you
did
a shooting star coming from the top. I saw that. I'm like, bro, you got to be out of your damn mind.
And to this day, I have some people tell me it was because of that match is why I started watching wrestling.
Wow.
Or started coming to that show. And I'm like, I'm cool with that. I appreciate that. I take that as the biggest compliment because I made some kind of impact on someone's life. I'm cool with that.
That's awesome.
That's positive.
We're going to go real quick and shout out to because this is a good conversation. This is why I wanted him on the pod, bro. Because, I mean, the conversation with this guy, he got so much stuff. He got a lot of baggage. He got a lot of baggage that we
prefer
talk
to say
about.
He has a lot of stories.
Yeah, that too. that too. All right. But because Danny Chan said to me before I go into the sponsorship, then the tears came out.
Yeah.
Soon
yeah.
What was I thinking? But first up, man, let's give a big shout out to these guys right here. And they put it. Oop, oh yeah, I should cover you like that, Chu. No, let me take it off. There you go. Big shout out to Casa de Reyes, man. Let me get you going here with my notes. There you go. Big Casa de Reyes, building dreams without breaking the bank, looking to build a new home. Casa de Reyes is the one you need to trust, residential contractor, guys. They'll build your home to the best ability and without breaking the bank and making sure your pocketbook is in their mind. They believe great homes shouldn't come with financial stress. Honest work, fair pricing, solid results. Give them a call at 956-376-8372. Casa de Reyes, where quality meets affordability.
If you have ideas about your house, talk to them beforehand about what you really want into it. Don't just show up and demand stuff. All right?
Do it.
Yeah, you're gonna
just live do it. Do it. Because once they start, they're not going to stop, because, I want a third kitchen on this floor. No, they're not going to do
it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Another big name here, another construction guy, one name, two strings. When it's time to transform your space, your home, your business, or your future, there's only one name you can trust. That's Anona Construction. Give them a call at 956-363-7195. From renovations to remodels, commercial, residential projects, Anona Construction brings vision, craftsmanship, and care. Turn your ideas or your dreams into reality. Be proud to walk into something every day for the rest, as long as that foundation is standing up and running, guys. But where Anona's Construction, but when the job demands strength and precision, that's when you got to go and call Anona's Concrete Solution. Now, these guys, same company, great guys, man. These guys are on top of it as far as slabs, foundations for commercial, residential, concrete work, man. Anona's Concrete Solution is built for durability, reliability, and results. One company, two divisions, two emotions, Anona's Construction, where ideas become reality, and Anona's Concrete Solution, where strength begins from the ground up. Build it right, build it strong, build it with Anona, man. That's a mouthful, bro. I'll tell you right now, dude. That's a mouthful, bro.
So is your boyfriend.
Yeah, shut up, dude. And last but not least, a great sponsor, Tattoo Shop, Inked and Saved with Freddie Honda, located in Edinburgh, Texas, actually close to Citrus out there. If y'all, if there ever a match out there or a wrestling match going out there, head over to Freddie's afterwards. Get yourself a tattoo to remember or, a memory of you being there. Get Matt Riott tattooed on the side of your arm.
Yeah, you want my tattoo, you want my name tattooed. That's the
guy you want to hit up. Matt Riott's face, like right here.
Right here, give Freddie a call, man. He'll gladly help you guys. Let him know Chewing Who sent you. Also, he has a Bible study.
Or ask him about his Bible study.
Yeah, on Wednesday nights, they get together. They have Bible study. If you feel that you're not going to be doing good out on the streets or doing something very bad, head over there, listen to the word, and let Freddie lead you the way, man. These are great guys. Great, great people, man.
And not just because they sponsor the show, but
he's a great guy.
In general, they support the community.
We've seen him grow up through the podcast, absolutely. You know, from everything he's gone through to now. The guy is amazing, man. A big shout out to Freddie, bro. But coming back with Matt Riott on the podcast again, once again, we were talking. I know you had said that you were a farm boy. You were out there to find, and you don't go that far. Because my man got a steel horse outside. Yeah. Right. He showed up in a steel horse to the podcast. And he walked in with a helmet. I'm like, what the hell? I go, bro. I showed up and I go, dude, bro, you came in your crotch racket, bro? Yeah. Like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I was like, wow,
at
man.
At 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you're on the expressway.
Yeah, yeah. Worst traffic ever right now in the RGV, and you made it in 15 minutes.
You didn't even feel it.
Allegedly. What car? Any law enforcement are listening, allegedly made it here in 15 minutes.
Okay. That park was on fire.
Just to elaborate, the bike has wings. All right? The bike has wings. He flew across the valley, got here on time. He didn't even come up the ramp from the second floor parking lot. He just flew in.
Yeah, as simple as that. True story.
But going to that, I know we talked about. You know what? Let me get your take on your Mount Rushmore wrestlers, bro. Mm-hmm. What's your Mount Rushmore wrestlers?
Well, what you mean by Mount Rushmore? Like the four greatest wrestlers that I've seen.
The ones that have inspired you to become what you're doing now.
A lot of my wrestling inspires from Eddie Guerrero, for sure. Right. He was, as far as, I mean, growing up and Mexican dominant culture, as being Mexican myself, it was good to see La Raza win. It was the best thing to see one of us up on the throne, showing that us as Mexicans, even though we're small, we're short, but we're hard workers, we're resilient, we're not going to take
your for an answer.
BS. Like, that's it. We're not going to take your BS. That's the pride and joy of being Mexican, I think. It's just, we're workers.
Well, if you follow the Eddie Guerrero genres, you lie, you cheat, you steal. Man.
You cheat, you lie, you steal. That's exactly.
But, and you leave broken hearts everywhere. Yeah. Sorry, ladies.
Let's see. So that was definitely number one up there. Mm-hmm. Second, definitely had to go to The Rock. And like I said, I grew up in the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. I grew up in promo after promo of just, it doesn't matter what you think. The cutoffs, the storylines, the placement, everything was just amazing. And to me, he was the most electrifying man known to man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sports entertainment, yeah.
He was, I don't know, he was one of the greatest wrestlers. It's just, and I mean by persona, I'm not saying like his wrestling was all that. Don't get me wrong. Like, he wasn't high flying. He wasn't, but he was always trying to, what's the word?
He was always electrifying. Like,
he was always anticipating, like, how I can make something different. How I can, they have how can I turn a 5-minute match into a storyline kind of thing. Like,
I won't lie, man. This guy knew how to make his opponent look shine.
Exactly.
He made his opponent shine.
There was no ands, ifs, or buts about that. There was, he knew how to go out there and throw a match together and make both the story and himself and the other person look great. Like, I'm wrong. There's a lot of other controversy between all that too. But I think anybody with their Mount Rushmore wrestlers is going to have some controversy on top of that.
Right, 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 right.
I think third is definitely going to have to be Jeff Hardy. Everybody and their mother.
Why am I not surprised he's bringing Jeff Hardy in the Mount Rushmore after seeing that shooting star in the gap cage?
Someone with attitude.
It was the actually in that I think third place has to go to both the Hardy brothers.
There you go. We can do that.
Both of them because they were both doing some of the wildest things in the Attitude Era. It was the latter, the TLC matches, along with Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys. It was them doing the crazy things, the jumping off of stuff and jumping and breaking through the tables, chairs, ladders.
How many kids went to the hospital because of the Hardy brothers?
Luckily, I could not afford the hospital, so I probably am not one of those kids.
That did not stop a lot of people, man.
And I think fourth and final, and it's only because of my finisher, is Evan Bourne.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
He was off. First saw him on the indie scenes. He was wrestling under Matt Sydal, I think, at the time. And his finishers, his kicks, his high energy into his abilities. It was like he was, I think, like a former gymnastics or like cheerleader or
something
on the lines of that. He was using that to his abilities, and I saw what he could do. And then when I first saw his finisher, that shooting star press, and how he would hold his legs when he would do it.
Dude, that was amazing. He got ups, bro.
It was the most. I was like, that's my finisher. That right there is my finisher. And don't get me wrong, and you can ask any of the OGs as well as anybody who saw me wrestle back in the day. The way you see it now is not the way I used to do it back in the day, okay? There was times where I was scorpion myself so bad that you could literally see my leg kick the back of my head from how bad I would undershoot it. And yeah, I'm not even kidding. I'm pretty sure if anybody of the OGs are watching this and they're hearing this, they'll tell you there's a reason why I have a lot of back problems now. I'll tell you that right now. but it was just something that I was like, no, I'm gonna master this finisher. And because of Matt Sydal / Evan Bourne, I made that my finisher. That was so now, yeah. That was a four.
Have you ever seen that finisher before, bro?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times.
You have to have some ups to actually do that whole maneuver.
You can actually see the soles of your feet.
It was so crazy. Like he would go and he would hold his legs. He would hold his legs as he's like gain, which is it's called a gainer, which is a forward backflip.
Right.
And he would gain off the top, and when he would gain, he would hold his legs until the very last second. I would just watch, just like, I just don't want to land on my back. Or my neck anymore. That's really what I just don't want to do anymore. So like,
well, you want to land on your feet?
I want to land on my stomach. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to land on my neck. Neck. And so, yeah, it just I can just imagine the matches that if me and him were in the ring together, I'm pretty sure we'd throw down because of that. Like,
the first time I saw a shooting star was I think it was with Billy Kidman.
Yeah,
Billy Kidman was when he first did the shooting star on WCW. I was like, wow,
it looks
pretty freaking cool.
His was also crazy because he would jump and then rotate. Not just like it wasn't one solid motion. Like the way mine is, I rotate as I jump. He would hop up, rotate, and then land. It was.
Yeah,
it was one of the craziest things. I remember on Kidman's shooting star press was again one of the OGs of the situation, but of the generation. I'm sorry, but just that was I every time he did it, I sat there like, how did he survive? Like he just threw himself, rotated, and then landed. I couldn't get the physics of it, like.
Because he would stop in midair, and then, then begin rotating.
Man, he's like, yeah, rotate. Yeah, like it was.
I think I should rotate now.
Yeah, exactly. I hit the pause button. Like that's real life. Click. Like you go up, wait. Okay, rotate. And then just drop.
Yeah, the first time I saw a shooting star, ever saw a shooting star was with Billy Kidman, and the way it was like, wow, that was like one of many high flyers, you know, in the business at the time. You were like, dude, this is
crazy.
It's nuts.
Crazy.
I mean, consider the fact Lucha has a lot of Lucha Libre over in Mexico have crazy aerodynamic jumping out of the ring, flying off the top
rope. Dude, those guys fly on wires, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't know. About,
like, they're on something. They're on something.
No, for sure. But definitely that move was super dangerous. To this day, there's times I still smack the back of my feet when I land. There's still days I smack. And by that, I mean, like, when you're coming down, the back of my feet will smack the back of the rope.
As
I'm coming down. So, like, luckily my knee bends, so of course my momentum doesn't change. But there's times where, like, I get really close to that ring where the guy's just not set up where he's supposed to set up. So sometimes I got to adjust. I got to open up my, like, feet a little bit wider to get a little bit higher out and get further out.
Right.
There's times they're just a little too close, so I'm like, this is gonna hurt, and this time where I have to kind of crouch my knees so that way I can kind of like miss the ropes. And
I just want to let you know this is gonna hurt me more than it's gonna hurt you.
Exactly. That's exactly what that move is, and like that's why I have so much respect for like moves like that, like Pox, Red Arrow. That's a same concept, but with a rotation.
Right.
Ricochet's 630 or Sammy Guerrero 630. Like,
right.
Those moves hurt us more than they hurt you. Like, it's extremely death-defying, and we love it. We love it
here. Like, you should see if there's any classes out there on how to pause midair. Pause midair, then turn around. Or you know what? I'm just gonna go back.
I'm thinking he talked to Michael Jordan and said, how to hold it at time.
Yeah, man. I'm sure Michael Jordan put a book out about that.
That's nuts, man. Yeah. I mean, scenario, bro. I'm a big Hardy fan myself. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Hardy fan myself. Have you watched almost every single WrestleMania up to date?
Not everyone. Not almost everyone, but just about. I want to say there might be a couple I've missed.
There's one in particular WrestleMania that just sent goosebumps all over my fucking body, dude. It was, they were having, I think it was the four-man tag team match. It was a four tag teams going for the tag team titles. They were above the ring, and they were waiting for a fourth entry. The New Day was walking down, and they were walking down. They go, "Well, there's one more entry coming in," and they're walking down. They go, "Who? And who? And who?" And then you seriously hear the. I'm like, holy shit, bro! Look, I'm still getting goosebumps as we speak right now, bro. Ultimate feeling, bro. My wife had never seen me at the age of, I think I was like 48, 49, 40, 47, 48, 47, 46. Jump off the freaking bed, running up the hallway, banging on the walls, screaming my head off like a little girl. Because it was the freaking Hardys, bro.
You were 15 again. You were out in summer. You were sitting there watching the WrestleMania just about to play. You had your snacks. You had your family's all riled up. And that's exactly what it became.
That was, to this day, bro, the biggest pop that WrestleMania has ever had. To this day. I mean, yes, you had the AJ style. You had this one right here. When they came out, bro, it went nuts.
Because it's even crazy. Because like even kids that like barely getting into wrestling know who the Hardy Boys are. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That tells you a lot. Like that tells you their legacy. Like,
yeah.
And that's exactly why you started screaming like a 15-year-old girl. Yeah. Like,
dude, it was nuts. I mean, the matches they've had, they're beyond classic. I mean, they're freaking monumental with Christian and Edge, with the Dudleys, them themselves, and so many other tag teams. Don't get me wrong, the Usos are great. Mm-hmm. I love watching the Usos fight. I want them to go back to the old face paint. I like the old Usos, but Matt Hardy and Jeff, man, they literally raised the bar to the maximum when it came to tag team fighting. Bro, it was crazy.
100%. It was such a great experience to watch them. Anytime you saw them wrestle, it was any match they had, it was always like, what's going to happen? And as soon as you see them get on top rope, you're already like, just hit it. Just hit it. Just fly you up there. Stop doing that. Just jump. You know what I mean?
Do a flip. God.
Oh, good time.
Something I would probably tell Danny was on top of the roof. Do a flip!
So there's a recording on one of the Shooting Star Presses I did off of the cage. And in one of the videos, you can hear the background, get on the roof! Get on the roof. It's gonna get on the roof.
Okay, no, let that get too crazy.
It sounds like you. That's the thing. It's like I'm hearing you talk, and I'm hearing that voice back, and I'm hearing that voice play back in my head. He's like, he won't do it. He won't. Get on the roof. Get on the roof. He's gonna get on the roof. And I'm like,
okay, where's me?
Where were you? Where were you that day?
I plead the fifth. Yeah.
I feel like if I look it up, find it. You can hear him say, get on the roof. On the roof.
No, that was, I'm not going to lie, that wasn't me, bro. But if that was my voice launching out through the video into the past, then like it was me.
Get on the roof, big boy. That's it.
That would have been me. That would have been me.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
No, man. So through your career of wrestling, through the time you've been in, how many years has it been already been wrestling, bro?
I'm going on 15. I started when I was 19.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm 34 now. It's crazy to say. But 15 years of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. All right. So out of all the matches you had, give me one match that replays in your mind that's like, dude, that's like one of the most intense match, and I think he's probably gonna say jumping off the cage is one of the intense matches ever.
No, actually, that was the most fun I had in a very long time. That was for sure.
That was just a Wednesday. Yeah,
that spot itself is very memorable, but I don't see a match that I played over and over. It would probably have to be our Fatal 4-Way. It was like Novum Crisis, I think back in the day it was called. It was Danny Chance, Eric Shadows, Ray Knight, and I. And at the time, we were a faction. And at the time, the faction was having, you know, a storyline having some issues. And it was going to be a four-way, I think, I don't remember if it was for the title, for a chance for the title, or just for something. But we went balls to the wall for no reason. Just a regular Friday, we decided, hey.
Danny saying a four-way, it was a four-way. That sounds really, Danny? Never use that phrase on there again, four-way, please. It's called a fatal four-way, dude. But say that like that, please.
It was four minds that like to go all out, all together, and that's exactly what we did in that match. And I've wrestled WWE superstars. I've wrestled former WWE superstars, legends, so on and so forth.
And he's saying it was for the Grand Warrior.
It was for the title. Grand Warrior. I don't remember if it was for the title for the chance for the title, but I remember, and it was four of us just planning this. Like, hey, this is what I have in mind. This is what you have in mind. This is what he has in mind. And we're all gonna put it together, and that's what we did. We all made sure we all looked good. We made sure we all took care of each other. We made sure we all hit what we need to hit.
Right, right.
That was the night I also got one of the worst injuries I got in my life. Oh. 4 minutes into the match. Thank you, Danny Chance.
Have those receipts been paid already?
In my 15 years of wrestling, I have yet to give any receipts. I'll tell you that right now. But I did the... he wanted to dive out at the same time. I did a dive to the outside. At the time, I was working on the Red Arrow, which is the forward backflip with a twist.
Right. Oh,
and I thought the perfect time to try it out was, you know, on the very top of the pole to the outside, which is about 10 feet off the ground. You know what I mean?
Ray's fault. It was Ray's fault.
But Chance is like, hey, man. This is why, like, it's always an argument between Ray and Danny. But Ray was like, hey, man, I want to dive out the same time that you dive out.
And Danny's like, saying, he didn't catch you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. So, so the spot was, I think Eric and Ray were outside. I was supposed to dive on Ray, and Chance was supposed to dive on Eric, and Eric and Chance wanted to do this like new dive he's working, which is like a over the top kind of rotation crossbody over the top. And I was like, well, I guess I'll hit my rotating, my Red Arrow at the same time. I was like, Ray, can you catch me? And Ray's like, yeah, I got you. I was like, all right, cool. You know what I mean?
Well, he was wrong.
So we get up there, and I'm on the spot. I'm waiting for Chance to hit the rope, and I'm already kind of setting up for the spot. And I hear Chance hit the rope, so I'm kind of like, all right, he's running. So I go for it. Chance dives out. I dive out at the same time, and Ray, I guess, he wasn't certain. You know, he's never caught someone off of this rotation before. Right. He kind of just, like, opens up his arms, but doesn't know how to catch me. So he kind of like anticipates one direction, but misses me completely. So instead of catching, I kind of bounce off of him. Like I didn't, it's not my momentum. My momentum kind of just hit and slid down. I went straight down, hit first into the concrete.
Oh, God.
Again, this is 10 feet in the air onto concrete. This is right. This is in the ring. This is in somebody. Yeah. This is literally just clacking. I just remember the pain. I remember Chance in the video. It's the funniest thing because you see me, both of us jump off. You see Chance get up there like, yeah. And you see me on the ground, just on the ground, holding my hip. Like,
what the hell are you cheering about, dude?
I'm like, oh.
And Danny saying, look, it was a double corkscrew, bro.
It was no double, I'm going to tell you that right now. But
it was more like a triple soik.
But I went up, rotated, came down, hit the concrete. Chance is getting up like, you know, he's still selling, like, you know, dive out, body up. I'm just like, work myself back up. I remember holding on to the ring, like, my whole hip is just numb. Like, it's just, I could feel the pulsing of my hip just.
I was going to say, you can feel your heartbeat right there.
Like, you feel the pulsing of my hip, but I can feel, like, my whole leg is just numb. And I just remember, just, like, holding my hip and then turning around and just, whoosh. You know, there's no timeouts in wrestling. Exactly. You know what I mean? So yeah. I was up. Chance is up. So he thought he's good to go. So I turn around and just get clocked right in the face. Just like, well, here we go again. And we just,
right.
Again, the adrenaline, just everything just fades into the background. So again, that was the first 4 or 5 minutes of my match. Granted, this match was like 20-some minutes long.
Jesus Christ, bro.
We went at it. And it was just back and forth with everybody. We had the crowd on their toes the whole time. We got a holy shit chant. We got multiple holy shit chants. We got a standing ovation. We got just the most recognized that you can get as a wrestler, like as far as like throwing in a show like that. Like it was, I remember, but not only that, I got to wrestle my brothers. Like these are the guys that I went to training with and we beat each other up day after day. And you know what I mean? And now we got to throw down in a match that was made by us.
And as soon as you started the story, it's funny because you say it was you, Danny, then you threw Eric. I'm like, oh, hey, with this is about to go south real quick.
Actually, when I was hearing that story, I couldn't help but play. This sounds like a Looney Tunes cartoon. You know,
Danny
Chance's Bugs Bunny and the
Devil and I'm Daffy Duck.
You gotta dive into the glass of water. Just pulls it away at the last minute.
Basically, what it was. That's honestly what it was. It was just the total beatdown between all of us.
Jesus.
But yeah. it was intense. It was great, and it was it was a nail hood on a brotherhood. That's all it was. The nail in the coffin for a brotherhood. That's all it was.
That's awesome, bro. It's awesome the fact when you're with your brothers, you know, and you say, hey, we're going to put on a kick-ass show. Mm-hmm. Let's go out there. Let's give the fans something to cheer about.
I think anybody in some kind of talent, whether you're in some kind of band, in some kind of sports team, in some kind of anything that you're doing, something that's not just by yourself, and you sit there and you're like, all right, my team has to come together, such as this podcast. It's not just the Chew podcast or the EW podcast.
Right.
You know what I mean? So y'all come together like, oh, this podcast was amazing. That performance of the band that we just did, you know what? You sit there and you're like, that was great. Like, people were entertained. People wanted this. People, and that's what that wrestling show was. It was, after that match, we were the highest we've ever been in our lives. Right. Like, it was... That feeling I don't think I could ever recreate unless we have another show where it's all four of us and we throw down again. And that's a day that I pray on, you know, because I'm not religious. That's a day I pray on. Like, I put that out in the universe one day.
Right.
It was, I don't know. It was just, that was the best indie show that I could think of, that's as far as that I can think of day in, day out. And that's because I've wrestled Teddy Hart. I've wrestled, Sammy Guevara, I've wrestled.
These are names that you're tossing out, bro.
And like, I've wrestled these guys, and like, I'm not saying we've had intense matches or something like that. Like, I've wrestled Paul London, I've wrestled the other people like Ray Rowe, and it's not like I'm excited to be out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this is, to me, it's just like I have to make sure I do my job.
Right.
These guys, I'm out here like, no, I'm out here to go have fun. You know what I mean? And like, I was, that was the first taste of that. That was the first taste of like actual fun as far as like in the ring, other than like little small matches that, you know, they meant a lot to me at the time. But as far as like now knowing that you know what I mean? Like you,
cause you were essentially working with family, you know?
Yeah. It was on top of that, I was still green. Like I was still, I mean, I think it was like our fourth or fifth year into wrestling, but even then that's still considered, you're still kind of barely dipping your toes in the wrestling scene. You know what I mean? I'm 15 years into the wrestling scene now. You know what I mean? I look back and I'm like, God, I was part of my language, and I hope anyone counsels about, I was a fucking moron. Like, I see some of the pictures. I'm like, bro, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, the hairstyle, the gimmick. I'm just like,
it's best not to think about that.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there. I got Danny, guys. If you're watching the show after the podcast, there's a link on the comments. I guess it's that Fatal 4-Way you guys have.
I'm hoping it was.
Yeah, that you can click on that link. It'll take you straight to the actual match. I got George chiming in. Says Teddy Hart speaks. Speaking of high.
Well, honestly, can I get a little behind the scenes on that?
Yeah, go for it.
He's not kidding. He's not kidding. That boy showed up with like blunt after blunt and just sitting in the background, in the back, and like...
So pretty much the chingados didn't really hurt.
I don't even think he felt it. Now I understood why he would talk for 30 minutes, because I think he'd forget where he was.
Yes, sir.
Bro, it was the craziest thing. He's like, I'm about to wrestle this guy. He's sitting there smoking up a storm, and I'm like,
it'll be all right. Oh, don't worry about it. We got it, man.
And that was the night I got suplexed on the concrete.
Afterwards, here, smoke this. Yeah.
You know what? I think that's what I was most disappointed. I did not get a puff. I think that's the worst part. He wasn't like, hey, man, afterwards, here you go. He was just like, that happened.
That happened.
Like, wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, did you see that?
We're an hour and a minute into the podcast. This is a great podcast. This is why I wanted Matt to come in, because he has great stories, dude.
Open book.
This guy has gone through match after match. And, you know, it's like when Danny comes in also, when he starts rolling, bro, these matches, he talks about these matches, the experience he's had with different teammates, wrestlers out there with him that he's wrestled, man. They're fun to listen to, because
I would love to hear from people that were there that night who saw these matches.
I'd hope this gets out there, and if y'all were there, I'd love to hear about it. Like, what y'all's like?
Yeah,
what's y'all's pull on it? What did y'all think of that night? What do you remember of that night? Because like in wrestling terminology, we think that like, you know, they're really just gonna remember the ending. That's what we always tell each other. Like they're just gonna remember the ending, but it doesn't appear to every fan. No. That doesn't appear to every fan. I've learned that. Learned that. This is why I always, when I wrestle, I create different moments, because I know that it's not that ending. It's not just the ending that they're going to remember. I've learned that fans remember little spots throughout the match.
Yeah.
And that's
true.
Our fans are evolving, and I'm trying to evolve with them.
Like, right, I got you. Yeah,
well, the whole scene is evolving. Like, we've had other... newcomers to the game show up here on the show, and they say like they can feel it, like it's like right there in the valley, you know, just like right there. It's about to.
It's slowly getting to the point where, you know, it's a must to go to these shows now on the weekend or wherever they are. You need to go check this out, because it's something. It's been around for a while, but now it's becoming like a must see.
When the season started, the tickets go on sale. They sell out real quick.
Yeah, they move pretty fast. They move fast.
And even through our winter shows, we're throwing on shows throughout winter. It was cold as hell outside, but we still be out there wrestling. Yeah. So
there you go.
People still show up. They bring blankets, coats, and you name it. They were out there watching us. So we throw on 24/7, 365. Okay, not 24/7, but definitely. Definitely 365. Like, we'll try to hit it all year long if we could. And if our body lets us, we'll do it every day if we could. But unfortunately, it's squishing.
Squishy.
I hear you. We're coming close to the very end. There's one last question I want to ask you, man. When it's all said and done, finally, the day comes where the boots go in the ring, the traditional hurrah. What do you want to be remembered as far as your whole wrestling career?
What do I want to be remembered as?
I mean, something you...
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. Something I want to leave behind, basically. Something that's... I don't know, that I was real from the get-go. There was no hidden agenda. There was...
No strings attached, pretty much. Just go.
It was wrestling. All about wrestling. I hope that's when I want to get left behind. Is when they talk about wrestling gets mentioned, whether it's WWE, AEW, Japan, anything. When they mention wrestling in the Valley, wrestling here in Texas even, I want them to be like, hey, oh, did you know who Matt Wright was? You know who Matt Wright is?
Yeah.
Yo, Matt Wright used to do some stuff back in the day. Yo, Matt Wright has some stories. Yo, you haven't seen Matt Wright's page? You haven't seen back in the day when he used to do? I want to be like that when they're just sitting there like, yo, look up this match. Look up that match.
You think
you know wrestling? Let's watch this match. Let's check that match out. You know what I mean? I think that's what I want to get left behind. My name. I want to be able to be like Matt Riot.
Yeah.
Joe Matthew Hernandez.
Riot. Guys, if you guys are watching, you see that picture right there on the screen, you got that QR code, click on that bad boy, it'll take you straight to Matt's page. Follow him, comment on the podcast, tonight's podcast, let him know he did a great job. I'm going to tell you, dude, I mean, this interview, I mean, like I said...
I'd love to come back. I have plenty of stories.
Oh, bro, we're gonna bring you back, bro.
You definitely come back. Behind the stories, I got stories behind stories. I got stories on top of stories.
And that's because we didn't touch base with your bartending thing, bro.
Exactly. On top of that, that's 15 years of bartending too. So
you got stories to tell.
No, I got stories on both sides. I'm an open book. You gotta ask the right questions.
So we come to the time of the show where you get to nominate the next person on the podcast. Raymond nominated you to come in. Before Raymond, Danny nominated Raymond to come in. So now you get a chance to nominate any person from the New Breed clan to come in and talk, man.
Well, let's go full circle. I nominate Eric Shadows.
Oh my God. Eric Shadows gets called out. Oh my God. That one's a...
It's really get your OG Novum Guinness.
Oh my, dude. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I did have Eric Shadows scheduled last year. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. It was during the holidays. I totally understand, man. Work schedules are crazy at that time. But now that he's kind of loosened up a little bit, have him in the podcast. Because Eric, if you're watching, no surprises like I did last time. I promise. Yeah.
If you want, Eric, I'll stay home. I won't show up.
But yeah, Eric Shadows, you've been called out by Mr. Matt Riot. So those of you that are watching right now on the screen, there's a total of 9 of you guys watching. Shoot this link to Eric and say, hey, man, they just called you out. Matt just called you out. You got to come in the podcast and let's shoot the shit like we always do, Eric. I mean, come on in. We need to talk again, bro.
That's right. Go harass him until he goes to chew a new podcast.
And then I'll give you Chew's address. You can go harass him after that, Eric. Yeah.
you mean people are going to talk to me?
But anyways, man, first of all, Matt, I want to say thank you, bro, for coming out, taking the time, have a little fun with us out here. I know it's your first time being on the pod. I hope you enjoyed yourself on here, man. It's, like I said, having you on here for the first time, talking to you, chit-chatting with you, is like, bro, this had to happen sooner or later. I need to talk to this guy because, like I said, when you go to these matches, you see Matt come out, you're like, dude, this is the guy I want to talk to. I want to see. There's history there.
We got to hear these stories.
Yeah, we got to hear these stories because, you know, like you said, I'm an open book, and that's what we like.
Hell yeah.
That's what we like. I want to say thank you, bro, coming out here, having some fun with us, man. And whenever you feel down the road, if we have open spot at the end of the month, you want to come in chit-chat some more, hell, just let us know. We'll have you come invite. In.
I hear it's like usually Thursdays y'all work, so I'm off Thursday, so got nothing to do, but...
Perfect. Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's get you back. Let me know. One dream match I want to see, because I'm not sure if it's ever happened yet. I mean, maybe I've missed it, but I really want to see Matt and Sean go at it, because those two guys, you and Sean.
Oh, Sean Jones.
Yes. You guys are like, I think that would be a bloody match. Honestly, those who are watching TikTok, it would be a red match. There you go. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use that word, but
that'd be dumb.
That would be something Wow. You know, that would be one heck of a match. Because I've seen the styles.
All you
got to
do is book it.
I've seen the styles. And they are, yeah, this would be literally the correct word, a slobber knocker. You know, leave it like this. Leave it at that, guys. Leave it at that.
You heard that. You heard that live here. You know, anybody, any promoters listening, it'll be a hell of a show.
Yeah, it'll be one hell of a show. Oh, I'm just tossing it out there.
Damn it, they're going to be on the roof.
Pots and pans. They're going to be beer all over the stage.
Broken beer bottles.
Where did the kitchen sink come from?
They're going to lose their deposit. There
goes the neighbors.
The bathroom's going to flood.
But Matt, want to say again, man, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing, man, and keep ricking out those shows, bro, because your guys are doing amazing.
Appreciate
out there.
You. I can't do it without y'all's support. Just know that anybody listening, anybody out there, I appreciate your support, whether it's the high, the thank yous, the boos, the cheers. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for y'all. I just want to let y'all know that.
All right, man. Thank you so much, bro. Guys, that is the podcast for the night. What did you think, Chu? What do you think about this episode, man?
You know, at a certain point, a memory popped into my head. It's a memory of yours, actually. Didn't you tell me that your little brother actually got up onto the roof to do a shooting star once?
You know what? Let's not want to end the podcast on that one because mom's probably watching.
And then someone from the crowd said, do a flip.
Shut up, dude.
It was a mystery person in the crowd.
And that's when my brother, Quez, went to the hospital and CPS almost got called on my mom.
We don't talk about that anymore.
No, we do not talk about that, man. But another great show tonight, man. Great guest, great company. Every podcast that we do with these guys, man, this is one reason why I want to do the wrestling thing this year, man. Yeah. It's just boys talking, man, and just good old wrestling, having a good time, and it's fun, bro. It's fun, and I know people that are watching, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Make sure you follow, share, and subscribe to the podcast, and you know, and like I said, let Eric know that he got called out. And Danny, if you're watching, you'd probably be the first one to tell him, hey, you just got called out, bro. So you get a chance. But anyways, man, Chu, any last words?
I'm taking my leg off.
Okay, we'll go ahead and check that off. Matt will probably be very interested to see that, so he's already looking at like...
Oh, you brace yourself.
You better go to my next match, and I'm going to use that as a weapon.
I'm going to throw it up in
there. I'm going to use that as a weapon. You think I'm kidding, you too. I'm going to use that as a weapon.
You think I'm kidding, dude.
I'm going to put boots to asses with that.
And I'm going to put the stiletto heel on you.
Do it.
You get to work with it.
Please. You can put the lap post on top of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Now we turn to a criminal story. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week, Thursday night, 7:30. We're Combat Cult. We got some two guests coming out. They won't be in this podcast. They'll be VI video. They are from Austin and San Antonio. Be tuned in next week, 7:30. Same channel, same everything, guys. Just thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for sharing. And without you guys, this is not possible. Shout out to our sponsors. Without you, it's not possible neither, man. Chu, sign us off.
I've been Chu.
And I am Who. We'll see you next week, 7:30 p.m. You guys, like always, ladies, gators, peace out.
Night, everybody.